Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stoppers.
Robert Quinn was pressuring, but he couldn't get to Cousins, allowing him to find Jefferson for the first down across the 30. Another play fake. Cousins looking left, got Jefferson. He absorbs the hit from Kyler Gordon, the rookie, and it's another Vikings first down. Right to Cook, walks in. Now it's a touchdown, and the excellent drive is capped off by six. Cousins, test play of the drive. Another play action. Cousins has to fire on the move, and he finds Jefferson yet again. It's the best start of Kirk Cousins' career at 13 for 13. And of those 13, Jefferson has seven of those grabs. 11th play of this Minnesota drive is a Dalvin Cook walk-in touchdown. This is a huge drive for Justin Fields. Taking a shot for Darnell Mooney. What a catch! Absolutely incredible from Darnell Mooney. A one-handed 39-yard grab. Here's Montgomery speeding ahead, spinning in for the touchdown. Welcome back to David Montgomery. He gets the Bears a huge score late in the first half. Bayless Jones, this is what he can do. And Bayless Jones is in for his first NFL touchdown. He comes up with a big touchdown, and now the Bears will try to cut this to a three-point game on their first two-point attempt of the year. Fields, tunnel screen, and Pettis got ripped down by Dantzler. That was really well read by the Vikings cornerback. 9 of 15 in his career from 50-plus. But the Bears come up with a stop and a block from Kyler Gordon, the rookie out of Washington. You saw Gordon with the pressure, but the other rookie, Dominique Robinson, the former quarterback, comes up with the actual contact. Great special teams pressure. This for the lead from 51 for Santos. And after trailing by 18 points, the Bears have taken a one-point lead in the fourth quarter. The 17th play of this series. Cousins trying to sneak it. And Kirk Cousins! They're already popping off the fireworks. No signal yet. It looked like he was in, and he is for a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth. A minute 20 to go and counting. Fields underneath. He finds the former Viking Amir Smith-Marset. And it's stripped away by Dantzler! He takes it down in the Bears' territory. A huge turnover with a minute to go.
Highlights courtesy of Fox and oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got JR, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Bears Monday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. As we talk about the Bears and their loss against the Vikings, 29-22. Cap, it's not the dispiriting loss against the Vikings. It's how the Bears lost on Sunday. When you make Kirk Cousins look like an all-pro, a perennial all-pro, 17 straight complete passes, which is a franchise record for him, 12 catches, 154 yards for Justin Jefferson. I mean, it starts there for me. But on the other side of it, it's like, you know, as I was watching the ebb and flow of the game, you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about, could you imagine if the Bears, I was thinking about you talking about how the Bears just don't have enough talent. Imagine another wide receiver in that spot late in the fourth instead of Marceau catching the having the ball taken away from him. What's the kid's name? Marceau?
Smith Marset.
Yeah, that guy. Imagine if that was the case, Gabby. Imagine if you have better offensive linemen not putting you backwards, you know, on false start penalties. What I kept thinking about is imagine replacing those mistakes with actual players and maybe the game is different. But again, the lack of talent reared its ugly head yesterday.
So there's a lot to unpack, Jonathan, my fine friend, from yesterday's game. The way it started, it looked like the Vikings were going to name the score. We'll beat you 38-7. It was embarrassingly bad. Kirk Cousins, 17 straight completions to start the game.
Oh.
17.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bears got their footing. They roared back. I love that Justin showed positive steps. I thought his comments after the game, and we'll play some of them. Hey, I just, it's really a fast game, and I got guys flying around me, and I'm getting comfortable. Sounds different than when you said, oh, it's slow to me. That was what, in the preseason as a rookie?
Yeah.
But can we please not be a pathetic fan base? Please? We lost. We, meaning all us Bears fans who every week want them to win. Justin took steps. Positive growth. I love it. He was not the best quarterback on the field yesterday. That was Kirk Cousins. I don't care what the passer rating says, because Cousins threw a pick and Justin didn't. Kirk Cousins carved us up.
Mm-hmm.
Carved us up.
Ooh-wee!
Yeah, take that, Kirk. And Justin played much better football, and it's a great jumping off point, and hopefully he'll do even better on Thursday and we can beat the Commanders, who stink. Why they're favored over us, I don't know. But my God, we lost. The Bears lost. It sucked. They should have been able to win that game. They should not have ever been down 21-3. That Viking team went through us like a hot knife through butter. Justin Jefferson, somebody want to cover him? At any point, how many times was he catching passes? There was no one within 5 yards of him.
Yeah, that was a problem. Major problem.
So we took steps. It is a loss. Take the next step, please.
It just, to me, watching social media, it had moral victory vibes for me. Reading what
Agreed.
I was reading. You know, you can never accuse, well, to me, I will look at Justin Fields, 15 for 21, 208 yards, and I say, you know what, that's better than what we've seen. But the bottom line is, never confuse activity with accomplishment. This is the National Football League. Progress plus a loss is still a loss. Still a loss. Progress plus a loss is still a loss. And this is what we've been talking about with this football team. Imagine if you have someone else as a receiver besides Darnell Mooney that could be able to make a big play, a big splash play. Imagine if you don't have Marcel Smith-Marset out there having the ball ganked from him, taken away from him like the way he did. You got a better player that understood, hey, man, I better fall out of bounds here because we get the momentum going. We had an opportunity to at least tie the ball game, to be able to go ahead here, and then that happens. That's the thing that's so disheartening to me. Let's not put Justin was better in the same vein as a moral victory.
Correct.
It's not the same.
Agreed. Yes, Justin was better in the second half especially. The defense was better. Here's another interesting question for you. Why can we make, and they're doing a great job, make adjustments at halftime where, wow, they actually have made some solid adjustments. You have all week to prepare for the game. Why do you start so slow? I mean, really? We looked like a junior high team against an NFL team to start that game. Boom, 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 right down the freaking field.
But the coaching staff will tell you that what you're seeing is not true. The press sees it. The fan sees it. For whatever reason, the defense was not ready to play in the first half. But once again, hats off to them. They shut it down in the second half as much as they could. They finally surrendered a fourth quarter touchdown because it was
first time all year.
It was a great 7 minute drive by the Vikings. They were methodical as they have been. Just a death by a thousand cuts against this defense. Just, you know, chip away 5 yards, 10 yards, run the football a little bit, and finally get into the end zone. So look, we know that they get off to a slow start, but Matt Eberflus,
When
he talks about the defense.
Yeah, we just got to start faster. You know, keep what we're doing in the second half. We just got to start faster. And then your next question is going to be how, right? We got to bring it to the attention of the coaches and the players, and we got to set it up for practice. And we just got to do better in the beginning, you know. And obviously, that's the first touchdown they've scored the entire year in the second half on us. So, we just got to keep doing that and get better in the start.
You know, even with some of the negatives that we saw from the Bears, we do give them credit because they were on the doorstep of trying to drive in the fourth quarter. I'll give them credit for that, Cap. But, you know, from the Vikings standpoint, they feel that 78 yards rushing for the Bears, that's a win for them. Usually someone breaks out. Montgomery's coming off the injury, was not effective. Herbert was out there, wasn't effective. Justin Fields is the only really rushing threat for the Bears. But from the Vikings standpoint, they're saying, 78 yards? Beat us down the field, and the Bears could not.
That game-winning drive for the Vikings, 17 plays.
Yep, over 7 minutes.
17 plays.
Mm-hmm.
Converted 5 third downs.
Yeah. Crazy. 75 yards because they started the first play after the kickoff. False start offense. Now it's 1st and 15. Bam. Down the field they go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would have happened had Smith-Marset not handed the ball to the Vikings at the end? Why he doesn't get out of bounds, I don't know.
Selfish play.
Do the Bears go for 2 to win the game?
I don't know. I'm sure they would because all of a sudden we saw, Riverboat Eberflus come out yesterday.
Right.
But when you do plays like that, you know, that reeks of desperation. That reeks of a bad football team. When you start doing the old sleight of hand and the old shell trick, football games, like, you're not very good.
Yeah, the onside kick.
Oh, it's just that reeks of just being a bad football team.
And I didn't like it. The guys I work with at TV who played, they didn't like it. I would love your take. Would you have kicked the extra point first possession of the second half or gone for 2? I would have kicked the extra point.
I don't think the card said 2 in that spot. I don't think it does. I used to know the card of exactly when analytically you'd go for it. Usually you just kick it in that situation, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you just go for the extra point usually?
Correct.
I mean, listen, if they go for 2, we are giving them a pat on the back if they're able to execute it. But usually I think that's just an extra point. That's what I think. But nonetheless, I think that the bigger point is for me, Cap, and we'll get to the offenses in a second. I just want to point this out. So when is this defense? I mean, they were on roller skates defensively. Roller skates defensively, where and the point is well made when you talk about the separation between the receiver and the linebacker, the receiver and the secondary. Look, if the game was in Minneapolis, for whatever reason, our secondary is in St. Paul. Or Mankato. I'm not sure why that was the case.
You're right.
Why was that?
I don't know. Like, his name is Justin Jefferson. That's not George Jefferson. That's Justin. Nobody near him. Nobody. Now, Kyler Gordon, I thought, played his best game so far of his young career.
Right.
He pressured on a field goal. I don't think he got the block. I think Dominique Robinson got it.
Yes.
But Kyler Gordon was flying in there.
Mm-hmm.
He had, 10 tackles.
Yes.
He had a pass breakup. I thought he played his best game as a pro.
Mm-hmm. And these are the things we're going to see. There's going to be certain highlights that we see from the Bears to say, boy, there's a glimmer of the future. The present and the future for some of these players. But once again, why did the Bears lose? Is because of lack of execution. When you need key players to come through, it did not happen. That was a winnable game at the end for the Bears, but talent really was able to rear its head in that spot. The Vikings have the talent. The Bears, they're just a few steps behind, as you could see in that game yesterday. So, Shay, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. You can watch the show. Thanks for the conversation, as always. Cap and I want to find out from you your thoughts about the Bears' loss. The Bears lost. Did they do enough to impress you on the loss against the Vikings? They lose 29-22. We'll get your phone calls in and also hear from Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields this hour. All part of the mix on a Bears Monday on ESPN 1000.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I say, man,
shot. No shot. With Cap. Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
my show. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. You have it right there next to you.
Yep. It's
interesting.
Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, triple distilled.
It's not anymore.
And it is legendary.
So shout out to Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Or Tullamore.
What did I say? Tullamore?
Yeah.
What did you say? Tullamore?
Tullamore.
That doesn't matter. South side.
Mrs. Tullamore might not be happy.
When I go south and I say, can I get that Tullamore? They know. They go right to the, oh, yeah. I got it right here. Tullamore.
Like old Foster.
Absolutely. Hey, man. Oh, and listen, there's different ways, different areas in which you say certain things. See, if you go, you know, if you go across Madison sometimes to the south side, you'd realize that.
Been there many times.
How about recently?
Probably not.
let's go now.
By the way, Shot No Shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook, yes, at Hawthorne Racecourse.
Here's Shay Norley.
Snorboard, what do you got?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
We're great.
Good.
Had an excellent Sunday yesterday watching the NFL. And actually, despite all the talk about the Bears' loss, I was pretty impressed with what I saw yesterday.
All right, well, let's get into it.
Well, I want to start with Justin Fields because he started yesterday's game much the same as he'd played through the first 4 weeks of the season. He completed just 3 passes on 9 attempts for 73 yards in the first half, but he came out in the second half and was vastly better. In fact, he was almost flawless. He completed 12 of 13 attempts for 135 yards and a touchdown to finish the day 15 of 21, over 200 yards and with a 118 passer rating. He also added 47 yards on the ground on 8 carries. He was the Bears' leading rusher. Shot or no shot, yesterday's second half was the best half of Fields' career yet.
That's a no shot because his performance against Pittsburgh last year on Monday Night Football was outstanding. I'll pull those numbers up. Maybe I will have to revise said opinion. But first blush, remembering how well he played on Monday Night Football, also in a loss, I believe 28-27. Is that sound right?
I believe so. What about the San Francisco game? Did they play San Francisco last year? What am I thinking about? There was a game I thought that he played well in the second half. Don't know if that's the best game for Justin Fields, but I liked what I saw on the comeback for the Bears late in the second into the third quarter. I thought that was encouraging to see. Again, more 6 than 3 in that spot.
Bears lost 28-27.
Mm-hmm. So you think that was a better game for Justin in the Nagy administration?
For Justin, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that game, the Steeler game, Cole Kmet 6 for 87. I mean, that was a big game. That was his best game of his career. Bears, I thought Justin had a 16-yard touchdown to Darnell Mooney with 1:46 remaining to take the lead. Ben Roethlisberger brings him back. Bears are driving, and they miss the field goal at the end from 65 yards after that awful 15-yard penalty, remember?
Yeah.
On whatever the name of that linebacker we don't have anymore,
mm-hmm,
for bumping an official,
that
or whatever they called him. Yeah. Taunting the sideline.
That was McCaskey got rid of him at the end. That's the thing that pissed him off the most,
right,
that taunting penalty.
Right.
I thought the San Francisco game that Justin played last year, 33-22, in a loss, I thought that was a good game because he ran for 100 yards in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Mooney was able to connect with him. Jesse James at the tight end. Marquise Goodwin was on the team. I thought that, especially in the first half, I thought it was pretty good for Justin.
And by the way, Justin last year in that game, Steelers, 17 of 29 for 291, a tutty and an interception. And he also ran for 45 yards, averaging 5.6 per carry. He was better in that game than he was yesterday.
So no shot then?
No shot.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about Cole Kmet as well. He made his first true appearance of the season yesterday. I was forgetting he was on the team. He made 4 catches on 4 targets for 45 yards, all in the second half, and he provided a consistent safety net against blitzes for Justin Fields. So my question, shot or no shot, Kmet proved he can be a productive tight end in this offense yesterday.
Well, it's a shot for me. I mean, for some that want to label him a bust, well, I mean, keep in mind who was it? He was a tight end for the last few years, where you just had no imagination offensively. now he's been pressed in the service to try to be a blocking tight end. And so now he wasn't blocking as much. He was able to get four receptions, good for 45 yards. Yeah. No, I think he could be serviceable. But as far as a game breaker, a splash play guy, we haven't seen that. We probably will never see that from him in a Bears uniform.
Yeah, serviceable, mildly. He's not a very good player. He's a good blocker, solid. He is not a game-breaking tight end at this point. We can revise that if we see continual progress. It's okay. Whatever. Second-round pick? Stop yourself.
That's what this season's for. Take a look at all these guys.
Correct.
And then at season's end, you'll see who can play and who can't. Correct. Who's going to be part of this team and who can't. It won't be. We'll Correct. See.
That's Hopefully. The biggest reason I don't worry about wins and losses. And I think you just go out there, run the offense in the best way for people to develop. Because at the end of the day, like, you can tell these guys, hey, we're evaluating you because we want you around if you're good enough to be around when we're ready. I think you can get away with, we're not going to win a bunch of games. We might not make the playoffs. But go out and play because we want you here.
Mm-hmm. Prove yourself. That's what it's about.
No question.
All right, Shay.
All right, the Bears failed to hit the 90 rushing yards mark yesterday for the first time all season. They rushed for just 3.3 yards per carry and got only 1.9 per carry in designed rush plays for their running backs. After all but abandoning the run in the second half, the Bears stormed back from an 18-point deficit and had a chance to win the game if not for the fumble by Amir Smith-Marset. So my question, shot or no shot? Despite the loss, we actually saw exactly what we wanted out of the Bears offense.
Exactly what we wanted.
Well, that'd be a no shot.
Yeah, that's a no shot.
Yeah, first of all, the running lanes were not open as much as I would have liked because the defense for the Vikings is pretty stout. On top of that, yes, you did have a couple of really good splash plays to Darnell Mooney. David Montgomery was in the passing game. We saw, but the problem is that you didn't get enough offensively from the Bears. There's not enough plays in the second half to help them win. So, no, I didn't get enough from the team offensively.
Yeah, I completely agree. What we wanted to see? No, absolutely not. Two catches for Darnell Mooney? I need more. Now, again, that's not on him as much as just the offensive playmakers around him allows them to give him double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
He made a hell of a catch. A hell of a catch. But no, I need to see a lot more. And David Montgomery and the running back room, what'd they run for?
78 yards.
No, leave Justin out of it.
1.9 yards per carry
okay,
by the running backs.
Okay, so that's not, that. There's your answer.
It's 31 yards between Montgomery and Herbert.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
For me, seeing the offense execute in the passing game when the running game totally failed them was what I had been hoping to see because we're seeing positive steps by the quarterback. That's the most important thing.
Positive steps, yes.
No question.
Your question was what we want to see? No. No shot.
Not yet. Shay.
All right, I want to ask about the Packers. Aaron Rodgers was right. The Packers were not playing a style of offense that was sustainable to win football games, and they ended up losing their London debut to the New York Giants. The offense was shut out in the second half, and the team was outscored 17-2. The two was an intentional safety. For the second straight week, Rodgers was pedestrian. He was 25 of 39 for 222 yards and two TDs. He posted a perfectly league average passer rating on just 5.7 yards per attempt. So my question, shot or no shot, the Packers are not contenders.
That's a no shot. They are contenders. Absolutely they will. Yeah, they're off to a rocky, they're not off to a rocky start. No, they lost against a Giants team that was opportunistic defensively, blocking those two balls late in the game in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it's a setback. They play the Jets next. Hey, I'm not saying that that's just a layup, but the point is, though, is that it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt every time.
The Jet game is in Green Bay, right?
That's correct.
I believe the Packers are a significant favorite. First blush, the Jets can score, man.
Sure.
They can score. I would absolutely be looking at the Jets plus the points, but we'll see what the injury report all shows. That's a no shot. They're still contenders. They got Aaron freaking Rodgers. Remember several years ago? When they were struggling, and he said, R-E-L-A-X. And at the end, they were right there. They didn't win it, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a no-shot.
No, I mean, I give him, Shay, the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, the loss against the Giants was ugly, especially that second half as you laid out. But it's the Jets, the Commanders, and then it gets a little tighter with the Bills and the Lions coming up on their schedule. But it's Aaron Rodgers. They'll find a way to figure it out. The whole big difference between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is this, is that Tom Brady has been able to win with less than what Rodgers has. Rodgers has had a stud wide receiver. It's the first time in a while where he can look across the field and go, wait a minute now, I don't have Davante Adams. I don't have like a stud wide receiver, but I expect him to try to figure it out. It's Hall of Fame quarterback.
Agreed.
What do you think of that, Shay?
Packer, well, I don't know. Because this year sounds so different, Hoodie. Cap brings up when he said R-E-L-A-X.
R-E-L-A-X.
He ain't saying that this year. He's talked about needing to figure, his receivers needing to learn. He's talked about his receivers needing to figure out where to be, him needing to figure out where his receivers are going to be. He's talked about the offense not playing well enough to play sustainable winning football, putting too much pressure on special teams and defense. He's not coming out and going, we're fine, relax. He's coming out and going, yeah, we got some issues.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It is October, and if it's October, it's not just because it's going to be fall. It's the time where Aaron Rodgers likes to complain. You can mark your calendar every single year.
He does.
He's bitching about something, and either that motivates him or motivates the team. He'll be fine, but he always has to complain. There's always a chip on his shoulder. All right. Shay, one more.
By the way, the Packers 7.5-point favorites against the Jets in Green Bay this weekend. Keep in mind, though, they were 9.5 against the Patriots that went to overtime. 8.5 against the Giants. They lost outright.
And who plays the Jets? That's the Jets. Who do the Giants have? I think they're at home.
Giants, okay.
Okay.
Giants. The Giants are going to be playing the Ravens. Yeah.
At the Ravens or home?
They're going to be
in New Jersey.
And I think they're getting significant amounts of points.
5.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of points for a home dog.
Keep our eyes on that one.
Keep a scope locked.
Careful.
All right, boys, I'm going to stick with the NFC North. The Detroit Lions fell to 1-4 yesterday after getting shut out in Foxborough 29-0, despite entering yesterday's game with the league's most prolific offense. That loss brings Dan Campbell's overall record as head coach to 4-17-1. Shot or no shot, if the Lions can't get things right this year, they should let go of Dan Campbell.
That's a no shot.
No, I want to see the carnival because I just want my partner to continue to be wrong and keep getting drilled with that clown.
He's not a clown. Guys love playing for him. They have got to be better. They were terrible against the run. That was really bad. Really bad. And then their offense obviously really struggled. Belichick was just, he had a great game plan and got it done.
Zero.
They're not going to get rid of Dan Campbell. They owe him a fortune. And you know what bad teams do? They just keep changing coaches. You got to pick a freaking system and stick with it.
No, I want him to stay. I like to watch the accident on the side of the road. I like watching that.
It is funny because, like, everybody buys into the Hard Knocks thing and how much of a meathead he is. But then you watch the game day decision making and the operations on the field. He does not know what he's doing.
He doesn't. But I'll say this, though, and Cap, go ahead and defend the guy. You, outside of that loss against the Patriots, a lot of close losses. Is that growing pain to
the
Lions?
He was very honest after the game. Look, you just be honest with him. You tell him exactly what it is. To me, it's as bad as it gets. This is the worst, and this is where we're at. And sometimes it's going to get bad before it gets better. We hit rock bottom, I believe. Now the only place to go is back up.
Stick your paw in there. We're going to be great. Bite off some kneecaps. 1, 2, 3, Lions.
So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. By the way, next game for them at the Cowboys.
Good luck.
Still to come, we're going to hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago at 8:30. But we're going to get your phone calls in here, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Matt Eberflus with some interesting things to say about the Bears' defense. That's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Fields underneath. He finds the former Viking Amir Smith-Marset, and it's stripped away by Dantzler. He takes it down into Bears territory. A huge turnover with a minute to go.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
Right there on Fox. Adam Amin on the call. Glad that you're in with us on this Bears Monday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you here on Cap and Jay Hood every morning at 7 o'clock. Bears lose to the Vikings 29-22. We turn to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears like a blanket for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're fine.
What's up, Court?
Could you characterize what you saw from the Bears offensively in the loss yesterday?
I saw a really strong second half where, for once, it didn't look like Justin Fields was a second-year quarterback trying to figure it out and kind of like a puppy learning how to walk. It looked like somebody who belonged, somebody who was in a competent, capable NFL quarterback who was trying to get his team back in this game in the midst of a 19-point comeback. And that, I think, has some promise to it. Like, I know we go back to what happened last week with what Luke Getsy told us, that, you know, he didn't see anything that was wrong with the first half of Justin Fields' season, or at least he didn't want to characterize it as a rough month. And I think we all kind of looked a little sideways at him for saying that, but you start to maybe see, okay, was this what he was talking about? The Justin Fields you got in the second half in Minnesota, who was not the reason that they lost that game, that looked more like the improvement that they've at least been talking about, saying that they're seeing it behind the scenes. And I think yesterday you actually see that translate to a game where he's, you know, 12 of 13 in the second half. And, you know, out, if it wouldn't have been for that illegal block in the back, he would have had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown accounted for in that second half.
So when you watch the first half of the game, I would like to know why it takes till halftime to make adjustments when you have an entire week to prepare your team. You start the game with only 10 players on the field, A. B, the Vikings go down the freaking field like a hot knife through butter. Why? Why can't you start the game better?
Yeah, I mean, that substitution on the first play and having to take the delay of game is unacceptable. I mean, I'm wondering if maybe they switch up who's going to be in charge of substitutions on the sideline, because remember, the Houston game, when Matt Eberflus said he didn't want to use, he couldn't use his timeouts there because they burned 25 seconds going from 13 to 11 personnel and they couldn't get the right guys on the field. That's that same sort of issue that apparently seems to be bleeding into the start of the game. And, you know, for that, and then, you know, later on the first snap of a different drive where Sam Mustipher doesn't read Justin Fields' cadence correctly, he thought he was kicking his leg to insinuate the start of, you know, his cadence, and it wasn't that because he was walking up. But there's little ticky-tack things that, you know, they add up, and those are drive killers in large respect. But, you know, that stuff in the first half, like, really could have set them up for failure. It's a big reason why they went down 21-3. And, I mean, they're playing soft coverage because there's a lot of play action here. Your defensive line couldn't get any pressure on Kirk Cousins. He was pressured on 19% of his dropbacks in the first half. And that's tough because they do use so much play action and they do roll him away from pressure. But it's very clear that this pass rush is anemic and it's lacking a lot right now. So I think that's a big thing that I saw in the first half. And on top of that, I guess kind of what are you supposed to do when you don't have your number one corner out there when you're facing Justin Jefferson? I mean, the guy had 150 yards by halftime, and that shouldn't surprise anybody because of the caliber of receiver he is. But at that point, you know, Jalen Jones was getting abused. Kirk Cousins was the veteran quarterback, and he was going to pick on, you know, a very young corner who he knew he could win that matchup.
Courtney Cronin with us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You have covered a lot of Kirk Cousins' games with the Minnesota Vikings. Where do you place his effort in the Vikings' offense versus others that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, when he's 17-17 to start the game, it's a pretty impressive number. But it would have, just from my own perspective, it would have been the most Vikings way for them to lose that game because they gave up 19 unanswered. I think there's a lot of holes that you can poke in Ed Donatell's defense right now because coming out at halftime, he had some of his backups in. Like James Lynch, I don't know if you guys noticed that, but he's a backup nose tackle. And I'm like, what is he doing in the game? It felt like they really did take their foot off the gas, seeing that they were up at that point, 21-10. But you know, they got stopped on that drive before halftime. The Bears were able to you know, even things up a little bit more, at least cut into their margin. And then the Bears started on offense in the second half. And that was probably the best drive that we've seen from Justin Fields all year, the one that he orchestrated into the 9-yard touchdown to Velus Jones. So I think, you know, with Kirk as a whole, this is exactly who he is. You expect like one kind of boneheaded interception a game, but other than that, he played really well. And he's got a lot of talented players around him. They can pick teams apart in a lot of different ways, and they opted to start doing that with Jefferson. Eventually, that kind of wore off, and they were able to use their running game to their advantage. But they've been playing in games like this all year. When you go back to the Saints game, that coming down to a field goal, and then this one, they almost blow a 19-point lead. That's not great football, but they're still a 4-1 team and atop the division for a reason.
So I'm thrilled that Justin looked better. I am happy that the quarterback is taking a step. Darnell Mooney only getting 2 catches. It's got to be better there. That all said, if you just follow social media, everyone's like, I don't care that we lost. Our quarterback played better. Yes, he played better. But what standard are we holding this football team to? Well, Justin looked better in the second half. Who cares that we lost? Again, he was better in the second half. He didn't throw for 350 and 4 scores here. Can we have a little bit of perspective, or am I wrong?
Well, no, I think the perspective, and I actually applaud some fans who, you know, are willing to look at this thing through a realistic scope, that what do we expect from Fields this year other than improvement in a marginal way from a week-to-week basis? You're not expecting him to make massive jumps when the week before it was baby steps against the Giants. The week before that, the performance he called trash. Like, I think that this is what, and I know it's not really, it's not sexy. It's not really like fun to, you know, if you're a fan getting all up about somebody's second half performance and then saying, woohoo, you got Washington, a winnable 1-4 Washington team coming to town on Thursday. If that's what you're getting excited about, I understand it. But it's not, I think it's okay to look at Justin Fields and the marginal improvement that we're seeing on a week-to-week basis, but also seeing how good he was in the second half. And Matt Eberflus saying it was his best day, one of his best days as a Bear. I think all of that's relative, because you're not going to see the massive jump that maybe you would have expected because of the rhetoric that was being sold by some people during the offseason. That's just not the case. So I actually can't fault people for, you know, obviously you don't want to be happy about a loss, but if you can find positives within that, within the growth of your quarterback, that he actually might be looking like it's clicking for him, you know, 5 weeks in, that's better than nothing.
What's the latest on the injuries with the Bears?
Yeah, we know Matt Adams has an injury. He went into the tent and then in the second half and was kind of in there for a while and then came out. So we'll find out a little bit more on that today. Other than that, though, it felt like they got out of Minneapolis relatively healthy yesterday.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate the time.
Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Courtney Cronin with us here on Cap and Jay Hood, and she gives us the insight inside the locker room with us here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, a bad parenting moment in the Buccaneers-Falcons. We talk about that on a Bears Monday on Chicago's Home for Sports.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Same ESPN Chicago app, in which you can find Bear Down, the podcast with Bleck and Abdallah. Check out the Bears podcast, Bear Down, on the ESPN Chicago app. We're here until 10, then Mike Greenberg comes in, followed by Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, and Bleck and Abdallah at 6, all part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. Still to come at the top of our next hour, 9 o'clock, Mondays. You know what that means, Cap. Our guy comes in.
A.B., Alex Brown, who I watched the game with yesterday, and we always love his perspective.
Is he on fire?
He's on fire.
About the defense?
Yeah, he was disappointed in the start of that game. No question about it.
Roller skates. That's the only thing I could keep thinking about. It's like, how much space, Cap? If the game was played in Minnesota, that defense, our secondary was like in Mankato, like Edina, Minnesota. How far it was. Like,
right.
I was like, you didn't see a bear in the picture when Justin Jefferson were making
catches.
He
was catching passes, and you're like, freeze it right there. We run stills on post game, and he, Lance, and coach are talking.
You don't see him, but there is a defender off the screen. You're like,
oh,
that's
man.
Like 9 yards. Yes.
Because of play action. Courtney just said it's because of play action, they're giving him a cushion. Like, no, I want him to be a little closer.
Some of it was play action. Some of it was just god-awful coverage.
That can't happen.
No.
I know that that's the hidden deal with this Bears team because everyone talks about Justin and the offense. That defense has to get off to a quicker start. It just has to.
Has to.
Here's Shay Norley now with a bad parenting story from the Buccaneers and Falcons. All right, Shay, go ahead.
So last week we had that streaker protesting get smoked by Bobby Wagner on the sideline during, I believe that was Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
This week, a 10-year-old jumped onto the field in the Buccaneers-Falcons game in Tampa Bay and sprinted down the sideline, juked a couple security guards before getting absolutely flattened.
He was how old?
10. What kind of parent lets your 10-year-old kid run onto the field? Like, you can't stop your 10-year-old kid jumping onto the field at an NFL game?
Well, if the kid just does it, what are you supposed to do? Tackle him?
Yes.
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 I mean, whoa! Where did little Bobby go?
I'd be right after him, right out of the stands, tackling that kid before he even got to the field. Absolutely. If that's your kid and he jumps the stands, what's worse, though, is the thought of a parent going, go ahead, just do it. Go ahead.
I would hope that the parent was just taken aback that it happened, not that the parent was encouraging it. Go, little Bobby. Go get him.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. In this mad world that we live in, would it surprise you that you pick up the paper one day and it says, oh, the parent and the son were in on it?
It wouldn't shock me. I'm just hoping. Hoping.
In this world. Would not surprise. Now, the kid, you want to go out there because it's a look at me moment. Do you have one of your friends in the stands doing a TikTok for you? You trying to be viral? The whole thing about being viral, and this is something up Shay's alley. The whole thing about being viral is, Cap, once we've seen it, it's gone out of our minds.
Correct.
It's gone. Like, okay, I saw it. Next.
Well, it's like people used to say, man, if I can get that in the newspaper. Today's newspaper lines tomorrow's birdcage. I mean, that's just a fact.
Once I've seen it, like, oh, it's okay. But I guess, Shay, from his standpoint, if there's someone that's filming it, hey, there's a viral moment. But then it's gone.
Also, you don't even learn this kid's name, really. Like, it's just a 10-year-old kid that made a dumb decision. I put the video out on our Twitter account, at ESPN1000, so you can see this security guard. I mean, for a 10-year-old kid, this is a hit stick.
We need to put that
out. Better hit him or Bobby Wagner?
Which one was a better hit?
It's probably this one, to be honest, but it's still a little cheap because it's a 10-year-old.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Okay, we got to put that on Twitter, at ESPN1000, for people to see this hit on this 10-year-old.
Yeah, it's out there, and I'm clicking on it right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yes. I mean.
Oh, God.
He got blasted. Okay, watch this.
Yeah, what happened?
Bam!
Explain what happened there.
Okay, so the kid is coming down the sideline toward, like, the 20-yard line.
Yeah.
And this security guard lays out and levels him.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, you don't know in this crazy world. What if he has a gun?
Right. You don't
know. That's what Bobby Wagner said. We don't know your intent when you come on the field. That's why I laid that guy out.
I don't know, Shay, if that made the folder last week or not, but that guy's suing. Right?
Yes.
I don't know if we mentioned it.
We did talk about it. Okay. I don't know if we got to the fact that the guy's suing the Rams. But no, Bobby Wagner did the right thing. You should. Like, if you're in position to flatten that guy, you should.
Cap, you know that guy's suing. You heard the story, right?
Well, I heard he filed criminal charges.
Yeah.
He should maybe read the back of his ticket. I don't know. I don't know how that lawsuit even gets filed, honestly.
That's 5 minutes in court, even if it makes it to court. Like, hey, did you read the back of your ticket? Get out of here. Throw it out of court.
And you're if you run on the field, I think you're banned for life from the stadium.
And rightfully so.
Correct.
Where's the kid going?
Correct. Now, the one last week was to protest the slaughter of pigs or something?
Yes.
Okay, get a life, man. Come on. I don't get that whole thing. If you don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat. Yeah. I like meat. I'm going to eat a steak.
Mm-hmm.
Take that.
I guess, for me, anything that's to the extreme is a concern for me. Anything extreme is bad.
Right.
And so when you get on the field and you put up a puff of pink smoke to try to say, look at me, Louie, when it comes to you know, animals, left, right, politics. When it's extreme, it's a problem.
You're out.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
Sports.
The whole PETA thing. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's, but if it's to the extreme where you get on the field and try to prove yourself, or if you're trying to, I don't know, glue your hand to the court like in Minnesota.
Yeah, remember that last year? That lady glued her hand to the court with crazy glue.
Mm-hmm. Extreme.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
Guess what? We're tearing that hand up.
That's exactly what happened.
We're picking your hand up, but the skin is still going to be on the court. You understand?
Good. You made that decision to do that.
She deserved that. And anyone that gets on the field deserves to be lit up. That's exactly right. In 2 minutes, we will have Alex Brown on the program. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears and the loss against the Vikings right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. 2 minutes. Here we go, JR.
You know what I'm laughing at.